remember when I was a kid, my grandmother, my mother's mother, would be coming for a visit, for a holiday or a special occasion, and we would need to get ready. I'm sorry, I read that wrong. We would need to clean the house. I was one of four kids, so our house could get a little hectic, a little discombobulated, a little disorganized. What's the word for it? Messy. So we had to get ready. Grandma was coming. By the way, at Grandma's house, it was never messy. Ever. So we had to get ready. Grandma was coming. Things had to be picked up and put away. Bathrooms were clean. Bedrooms were straightened. We would pile everything that had occupied a space on our floor into the closet and force the door shut and make a little prayer that she didn't try to open the closet. We would spend the better part of a day preparing for the upcoming visit, for getting ready, for getting things in order. That was years ago, and now, when my mother comes to visit, we have to get ready. We put things away, we clean, we straighten up. My mom will tell us, "You don't have to do that." But we do. My wife says we do. We want the house to look nice. We want her visit to be a good one. We want to get the place ready, and getting it ready makes us feel like that scenario is more likely. See, Malachi says, "I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming." God was getting ready for a thing. Something that hadn't been done before. Something that would change everything. And you can't just jump into changes like this. You have to prepare the ground. You have to get it ready for what's about to happen. So God decided to send a messenger, a prophet, a truth teller, John, son of Zechariah and Elizabeth, who was Mary's cousin. John, who would become to be known for his reliance on a purification ritual used before men could enter the synagogue or the temple, where they would wade through waist-high water and cover themselves repeatedly to wash away the dirt of the world before they entered into the presence of God. John the Baptist. John's job was to get us ready, to prepare the way, to make the path straight, because Jesus was coming. John prepared for this role from the womb. There's a story in Luke in the first chapter where Mary, excited that she is pregnant, goes to see her cousin Elizabeth, who has also become pregnant with John. And when she enters the house, the infant John in Elizabeth's belly senses that his King and Lord is near, and Scripture tells us he leapt for joy. Mary and Elizabeth, being cousins, living close to one another, you know, of course, that John and Jesus grew up together. It wasn't just that their moms talked before they were born, and then 30 years later, this wild man in the wilderness dressed in animal fur and eating locusts and honey and baptizing people in the River Jordan happened. They knew one another. They were second cousins. They lived close to one another. They were friends. They were family. They knew each other's strengths and gifts, each other's peccadilloes and irritants. Trust me, the first time that John, as a young child, picked up a locust and started chewing on it, Jesus was nearby going, "Would you rather have some bread? Maybe a cup?" I grew up close to my cousins. I have two cousins who are closest to me in age. They're only a year apart. They're about 4 years younger than me. Oftentimes at family gatherings, these two would irritate one another to the point of a rolling around on the lawn fist fight. I, being the older cousin by about 4 or 5 years, would wade into it to pull them apart, or sometimes not. Right? Brothers got to work that stuff out. But we were family. We knew each other. John and Jesus were family. Their mothers were cousins, making them second cousins. They lived near each other. John knew in the womb who Jesus was. Did he also know when they were toddlers playing in the dirt together? Did he know when they were playing games and chasing a ball? Did he know when they were teenagers learning how to work at their father's sides? Did John know the whole time? The next time we get to Easter and we get that scripture where Jesus receives word that John the Baptist has been beheaded and he goes into this deep mourn, we need to remember that it's not just that the guy who'd been talking about him, that the guy who had baptized him and thousands of other people had died. This was family. As an adult, John assumes his role completely. He goes off into the wilderness to prepare, eating those locusts again, that honey, wearing those animal hides. You know, he was that weird guy that wanders around in the woods. And then he goes out one day and he proclaims, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked will be made straight, the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." He's talking about Jesus. Jesus is coming. In John's world, Jesus was already there. He had been since they were children. I wonder, as John was announcing this message, waiting for Jesus to start his memory, I wonder what he thought of all this. John's job was to get us ready. Jesus is coming, and it will change everything. Get ready. Get baptized. Confess your sins. Get your hearts right. Jesus is coming. It's always interesting to me that this scripture pops up in the lectionary every year during Advent. You see, John was born around the same time as Jesus. They grew up together. They were about the same age when they both started their ministries. We don't hear any of the scriptures about Jesus as an adult, but this scripture about John as an adult is in the lectionary, reminding us of why John leapt in the womb, why John was excited, what his role was going to be. It's at Christmas time that we find this scripture about this prophet, this herald of God, a proclaimer of what was to come, this voice that would cry out in the wilderness. Maybe it comes at this time of year, this magical, childlike time of year, when we decorate the trees and hang the wreaths and wrap the presents, when we treat each other a little nicer, a little kinder, a little more caring. This wonderful, magical time of year when we focus on the coming of this still small child. Maybe this scripture's put now because this is when we're supposed to start getting ready. When we should announce to the world, "Get ready, Jesus is coming. Straighten up, put stuff away, hide your toys in the closet." Theologically, of course, we do Advent incorrectly. Advent is a time of preparation, means that theologically, we shouldn't start singing Christmas carols until Christmas Eve. And then for a couple weeks after that. The scriptures are the same way. When you look through the lectionary week after week in Advent, the scriptures we know and associate with Christmas the closest, the baby in the manger, the shepherds, the angels, the wise men, those don't come in the lectionary until Christmas Eve. If you hear them before Christmas, it's because I've stuck them in here so that we can hear that story again and talk about it. Because you see, we had to make a shift in the church hundreds of years ago. As society and culture began to move the Christmas season ahead of Christmas instead of after it. The 12 days of Christmas, do you know what day one is? Christmas. Yeah. But we now start hearing that hymn the day after Thanksgiving. Christmas decorations show up in the stores in August. We had to move ahead of Christmas because Christmas moved ahead of Christmas. So we shifted with it. And we want to. We enjoy this season, this time of year. We love the songs and the scriptures. So we want to celebrate them now. After Christmas, we'll start taking down the decorations. We'll stop singing the songs. We'll go back to our regularly scheduled Jesus Loves You scriptures. That's all fine. It is what it is. But I can't help feeling that we're missing something in all of this. Advent is about getting ready. And we do. We prepare for Christmas really well. We plan candlelight services and decorate the church and sing those special hymns we love so much. Read those special scriptures that mean so much to us. But that isn't what Advent preparations are really about. Advent isn't about preparing for the coming of Christmas Day. It's not even really about preparing for the coming of the Christ child. Advent is about preparing for the coming of Jesus into your life. Jesus is coming, and it isn't so we can have a day off from work and eat a big meal and exchange presents. Jesus is coming to set us free, to save us, to love us, to forgive us. Jesus is coming so that nothing will be the same after this. Everything will change, and we have to get ready for that. The coming of the baby in the manger is a sweet story, but it is simply the beginning. The story doesn't end here. It goes on, and this story changes our life. We need to get ready for that. Everything is different after Jesus comes. We are not the same. And to simply take down our Christmas decorations on December 26th, I actually know people who do this. The day after Christmas, they take down. I once left my Christmas decorations up until March. I don't understand people that pack them up the day after Christmas. I love my Christmas decorations. I want to have them up. To simply take Christmas down and put it back in its bags and boxes and stuff it back into that closet for another year does not do justice to what this season is trying to prepare us for. Jesus is coming. The sins and the setbacks, the mistakes and the missteps, the bungled struggles of my life that have tied me down and held me back from living the life God intended for me, Jesus is coming to set me free from all of those. Jesus is coming to save me from my sins, and we have to get ready. We have to get ready for our changed lives and what they are like after that encounter. And then we are to announce to the world, to our community, to family and friends and strangers, get ready. Jesus is coming. Not for a one-day holiday, not for a one-month season, but for a lifetime of redemption and righteousness, a life made well, made whole, made right. We are to announce in our words and our lives and the very steps that we take every day, get ready. In 2019, we are now that voice crying out in the wilderness. We are now John, the herald. We are the ones to go into the world to say, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. We are the crooked made straight. We are the rough made smooth by the grace of Jesus Christ. We have been changed, made whole, healed, and loved, and forgiven. So we are the ones that God now sends to tell the world, not for a month in the middle of winter, not for a season, but every day, every week, every month. Get ready. Jesus is coming. And it's going to be wonderful.